Our gospel today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Listen now to the word of our Lord. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. In the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Kay Strom was teaching third grade in a large elementary school, and she told this story. She said, one morning all the teachers were called to the teacher's room for an emergency meeting, and they hurried over, leaving their classrooms unsupervised. Well, that's pretty deadly. Of course, everyone was a bit worried, but none as much as this Mrs. Whiting, because her class of first graders was especially mischievous and unruly. And when they got to the teacher's room, Mrs. Whiting said, I think I had better listen in to find out what's going on in my classroom. She turned on the intercom, and sure enough, her room was in utter chaos. Children were yelling and jumping and throwing things. But one little boy shrieked out above all the rest of that uproar. And Mrs. Whiting recognized that piercing voice. She picked up the microphone, and in her sternest voice, she said, Elizabeth, sit down. Immediately, the room fell silent. And after a few seconds, a small, humble voice answered meekly, okay, God. You see, the teachers knew all about intercoms and microphones, but little Elizabeth was, from her perspective, could only think of only one explanation for this voice coming out of nowhere and admonishing her by name, God. So, what do you really know about God? Certainly, you're more sophisticated, I think, than Elizabeth, but what do you really know about God? Years ago, a fifth grade teacher in a Christian school asked her class to look at TV commercials and see if they could use them in some way to communicate ideas about God. So here are some of the results. God is like Bayer aspirin. God works miracles. God is like Ford. God's got a better idea. God is like Coca-Cola. God's the real thing. How about Hallmark cards? God cares enough to send the very best. Tide detergent, God gets the stains out that others leave behind. General Electric, God brings good things to life. Scotch tape, you can't see God, but you know God's there. And Allstate, you're in good hands. What do you know about God? If you're honest about it, I think we have a lot of unanswered questions about God. We probably have as many questions as we have answers. What does it mean, God in three persons? When Jesus ascended, where did he go? How about, where is heaven exactly? Questions. Anyone who puts his or her mind to the subject of faith, I think, has them. Now consider our lesson for today from John's gospel. Jesus is speaking to his disciples when he says to them, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's an interesting insight, don't you think? The disciples were not ready to receive what Jesus had to give. You know, that's probably true about all of us. Legendary late business leader Lee Iacocca once said something I thought was quite interesting. He said, it's a good thing God doesn't let you see a year or two into the future, because you might be sorely tempted to shoot yourself. But God's charitable, he says. God only lets you see one day at a time. When times get tough, there's no choice except to take a deep breath, carry on, and do the best you can. Actually, I think he's probably right. There are some things I think it's better for us not to know. Suppose, for example, you knew with absolute certainty that 6 months from now, at this exact same time, you were going to be hit by a car and die. Would you want to know? Obviously, you would probably avoid cars, then, wouldn't you? Maybe you'd even stay in bed on that particular day. Well, there's a story about a man who was told by a fortune teller that he would die in a plane crash, and so he avoided flying, of course. 6 months later, he died in a car crash. An airplane fell on his car. According to this philosophy, even if we stayed in bed on that preordained day, a car could come crashing through our bedroom wall. So would you want to know what was going to happen? Some of us, I think, would like to have the gift of knowing the future, but I think most of us probably would rather not know. See, it's the same with our knowledge of God. God has chosen to show us just a glimpse of who God is, right? Father, mother, parent, creator, redeemer, Holy Spirit. But we have other questions, I think. Unavoidable questions. And there's undoubtedly a reason for that. Jesus said that his disciples couldn't bear some of the things he was able to tell them. There's a reason we don't know everything about God. But you see, there's something that we do need to see. We don't know everything about God, but we know everything about God that we need to know. We know enough to save us. We know that God created everything that lives, moves, exists. We know that God loves us and that Jesus died for us. We know that God is with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think really that's all we really need to know. After all, we are not saved by our knowledge, but by what? Faith. And that's good. If we were saved by the power of our intellect, some of us would be at a real disadvantage. But people with superior intellectual powers, they make mistakes too, don't they? We're not saved by our knowledge or our intellect or by a high and mighty education. We are saved by our faith, which is available, of course, to all of us. Faith is available even to the youngest and the most limited among us. Maybe that's why Jesus used a child to help illustrate what it takes to enter God's kingdom. When little Elizabeth heard the voice on the PA, she assumed it was God. That shouldn't surprise us, since children are not nearly as cynical and closed-minded as us adults are. Children have this amazing ability to see life without any boundaries, don't they? They're bursting with potential and see no reason why they can't achieve anything that they actually set their minds to. Pamela Byers of Arcadia, Indiana, had an experience that many of us, I think, can relate to. It was a cold day in midwinter. Pamela's husband had left for work, and the older children had gone off to school, leaving Pamela and her 6-year-old daughter, Keely, and their newborn son at home, some distance from town. And having some errands to run, Pam bundled up those kids, settled them into their car seats, and got behind the steering wheel. And just then, she realized several things at once. She didn't have her car keys. The house was locked, and they were out in the cold. Pamela's mind raced as she considered her different options, and she thought about the three of them struggling to stay warm out there in that bitter cold weather. And then she heard a little voice from the back seat. "Mommy, why don't we pray about it?" "Keely," Pam said, "there's no way God can do anything for us." After all, she thought to herself, she's the one who had locked the keys in the house. She couldn't expect God to come to her rescue when they were suffering from the result of her own carelessness. But Keely is a persistent child, and she pushed her faith on her mother again. She said, "Mommy, please pray about it. Jesus can help us." How could Pamela not honor that request? Keely was asking her to do something that she did believe in. So Pamela prayed. She doesn't remember the prayer, but she fulfilled Keely's request with kind of a doubting heart. "Mommy," Keely said, "look in your purse where you keep your money. See if there's a key to the house there." Pamela explained that she didn't keep a spare key in her change purse. She only had one key, and it was on a keychain locked in the house. "But Mommy," the little voice persisted, "look in your purse anyway." To this day, Pamela doesn't know how a key ended up in her change purse, but that day her daughter's faith became her faith. Now, of course, we can think of a host of practical explanations for how the key came to be in Pamela's purse. Maybe Keely put it there. We don't know. But that's not the point, is it? The point is that a little child's faith, and sometimes just genuine, simple faith, is rewarded when people with more sophisticated solutions stand around frustrated. So what do you really know about God? Actually, we know very little. But what we do know is enough, you see, to transform our lives. The truth is that our greatest need is not to know more, but to be able to trust more, to have that faith. And I think we all know that's true. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, says that old gospel tune. And it is sweet to trust. And experience has taught us that it is also the very best way to live, I think. What do you know really about God? If you know that God loves you, cares about you, that's all you really need to know. So trust it. Believe it. Amen.